Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Welcome to Dr. After Dark, everybody. Remember to bring those emails to us at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. And, of course, the phone number, 818-253-1693. The great Christina P. is here. We got a lot to talk about.
So much.
We've been apart for a little while. We're like, it builds up. It's sort of like, it's like Annie and his poo. It kind of builds up for a while, and then we just let it all out. Speaking of Brown.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I thought I would delight you with
that. Uh-huh.
I realized I think I have very similar issues to your husband.
Okay.
He and I have been talking a little bit about stuff, and I realized, I know what that is. That's what I got. When we did our pictures, we were all together, he was telling me. And so one of my solutions was to use Metamucil tablets, capsules, mm-hmm. They're expensive as hell. Mm-hmm. And then I started looking at what's in there. I was like, oh my God, it's like 3 grams of carbohydrate. I'm on a no carbohydrate diet. Oh. I thought I take about 30 of these things at a time to keep my brown good.
You take
good.
30 capsules?
20 for
what?
Sure.
What? Yeah. There's got to be an easier way.
So I went online. I went, I'm going to find something less expensive and something that does not have as much carbohydrate. And I did. And it's fantastic.
What is it?
Makes me very happy. It's called a yerba blow or something. I mean, it's like, I don't know, but it's like drinking oatmeal. It's like really good.
So do you think, because his triggers are so random with his brown.
Garlic and onions.
But here's the deal, man. We went and we had a tasting menu on our anniversary. And you know that.
Destroys him.
It didn't.
Didn't destroy
him. He didn't have any brown. Just gas, but no brown.
But the gas, that's pretty uncomfortable.
But for Tom not to explosively brown after a tasting menu, we were like, it's the question for the ages. You know what I mean? It's something philosophers and thinkers will be working
on. It was part of the celebration for you when you were looking forward to that.
To his brown.
Yes, of course.
I'm just used to it. It's conditioning. It's not even.
Oh my God, used to it.
Oh gosh.
So yeah, I thought I would delight you with a little
brown talk.
Thank you.
Well, I'm so proud of you that you're finally opening up your brown hole to me and sharing.
Because I like you. Before the mics heated up, we were talking about vaccine therapies.
So first of all, are you going to get me the hookup with the celebrity doctor vaccine? Let's go, bro.
And I was talking to Bert Kreischer about this, who also attempted the same move that you're making.
Yeah.
And I brought up the fact that you would probably make this move.
Yeah.
And Bert blurted out that Tom would pay any amount of money to get the vaccine, of course. He'll be like getting it one way or another. But it'll be coming soon. And if I have any opportunity, trust me, I will give it to you.
So I have your word.
First round. If I can get it.
You can get it. Your doctor.
I'm going to get it for myself for sure.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Should I get it for my family? That's kind of an interesting question.
What?
Probably not for my kids because they're too.
I get it? What are you talking about? Yes.
No. Because for them, for my wife, yes. For my kids, I'm not sure the risk is enough.
They can survive.
Yeah. To do that. But you, I will get it.
Because I'm. You're very special. Elderly and high risk. And I'm your favorite.
You're
friend.
My favorite. And no one else do I have such a fun podcast with
of
you.
Course.
And I want you to survive this whole COVID thing so we can keep doing this.
I agree.
Yeah, good for you. Speaking of more gifts for Christina, there's a video I brought. I think you've seen it, but there's a follow on to it. I emailed it to you. Somebody who did a nice homage to you.
Yes.
Yes, a lovely homage.
Can
we watch the homage to Christina P?
This
girl just nailed it.
Chayla. I don't know how to say her name, but we've been emailing.
Oh,
just because I'm like,
you know her name. You've been emailing, not DMing or something.
Well, we DM'd initially, and then I was like,
oh yeah, C H A E L A. What is her?
I just wanted to thank her because I thought it was so silly.
Fossil and Fern Company Co. is her handle, and. She's very creative and animated, yes?
I did not steal Valor, Tom. The keys were right there on the credenza table.
She's even got my jacket.
Tom likes big old milkers. He likes big slap titties. That's what I got. Big old slap titties.
Credenza?
Do you think of me as a woman anymore? Am I a woman? Credenza. Do you have the fart man cooked up? Cream of wheat makes me shit. I don't know what to tell you. Every time I eat it, just shit, liquid shit. I don't know. Cream of wheat. What's happening? No. Is that vomit? No, I don't do vomit, Tom. No! I don't do it! I don't do vomit, Tom. I don't do it. I don't know. I'm getting mania with this one. Maybe a little bit of schizophrenia. Let's save this one for Drew. Save this one for Dr. Drew. I've been in therapy for 10 years, but let's save this one for Drew. That must be the Eastern blocker in me. Okay. Okay. Okay, Tom.
Oh, wow. Here we are. Well done. Well done.
I mean,
Shayla Farrior, F-A-R-R-I-O-R, was her TikTok handle. She posted a, maybe I should, do you have the post that she put up?
What an honor.
So she posted a couple days later, this is on Twitter, the amount of dudes asking for my nudes after my Christina P impression is concerning. Someone needs to check in on all these jeans out there, all the jeans. They'd be horny as fuck. Dr. Drew needs to make a house call.
I can assure you it's not great naked. So Chayla's, ask for Chayla's nudes. You don't want to see this.
So
that's I'm so impressed.
So she's it's running the cycle, right? Single, double, triple, home run. Well done. Well done.
Goodness gracious.
So anybody else that wants to be featured on this show, you know what you need
you
to
know
do.
What,
now.
You know what to do. Yeah. Okay. So can I tell you my good news, my excitement?
Okay.
I've been just walking around with my kids in my neighborhood and I've had several people stop me and go, Christina P, Rational Revolution. Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
It's fantastic.
And I know I was thinking, I'm like, you know, I don't know if anyone's really into this. And we get a lot of emails that are positive, but to have people stopping me on the streets now, I think it's really exciting. So,
okay,
couple of articles. I wrote up some tenets for our Rational Revolution.
Excellent.
You ready for this?
And it's good that it's coming today on your good hair day.
I know, right?
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? This is excellent. This will be for the ages. This will be for the ages.
Okay, are you ready for the tenets?
I'm writing it
down. The Rational Revolution.
Okay,
here's
I'm ready.
What we go. Here's what we stand for. Canceling.
Canceling.
All right.
Done.
Instead, maybe dialogue, redemption,
instead,
and education.
Instead, maybe. We must be adamant about stuff. So it is dialogue.
Dialogue, education, and perhaps redemption.
You know, I did a podcast today where I talked to a therapist and I took a picture of what she said to me. I thought it was kind of interesting for the Rational Revolution.
Yes.
So I'm gonna tell you, she said that we need to calm down.
You and me?
No. For this dialogue to occur.
Uh-huh. Everybody. Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Verbalize in a collaborative way.
Okay.
Meaning I would like, it concerns me, this is,
oh, that's like
I'm feeling.
Therapy stuff. Yeah.
And then act in listening and the basics of, you know, taking turns, listening,
yes,
catching and pitching kind of thing.
That's smart.
And so I thought that the calm down, what was the second one?
I like that.
What was the second one? I already forgot it. Calm down, verbalize in a collaborative way.
Smart.
And listen.
You know what I really think we need is a BBC. A publicly funded news organization.
Oh, you're a communist.
Well, I mean, look at the CNN's clearly lefty goosey.
Yeah.
And the right is foxy. And they're both stirring up these pots.
They're gone.
The narratives
yes.
are just, I mean, why does every person on CNN have their own hour of feelings?
It begs the issue. Do we need journalists if this is what it's going to be?
I think that's the issue, is that we're all in our own echo chamber and there's mm-hmm. no objective. Okay, so let's continue this.
Okay, so
also,
dialogue.
And first of all, cancel this cancel culture.
Cancel,
bullshit.
Canceling.
I'm done. I'm over
cancel,
it.
Canceling. That is our...
That's number one.
That's number one.
Just forget about it.
Yes.
And remember...
I love it.
Remember this idea of the litmus being any reasonable person, right? In a classroom, it used to be any reasonable person would agree that, blah, blah, blah. And now it's the least offended person, blah, blah, blah. So let's go back to having contextual interpretation of things versus a literal out of context.
Concrete thought.
No concrete thought. No.
Concrete thought means literal. Everything's concrete.
Right.
So no concrete thought.
And contextual.
Everything rational.
Yeah.
Critical. Critical, rational thought.
Well, and for instance, you know, these wokers, I'm going to show you an example.
Wokers.
I hate the wokers. let's look at it's, everything is in context, right? Meaning is contextual. We all know this. If you could bring up the movie thing I sent you, guys, Zolo. Okay, this is the new Warner Brothers movie, The Witches.
And is that Anne Hathaway?
That's Anne Hathaway in character in a fictitious portrayal of a witch. I haven't seen this movie.
Okay.
Now, the woke got very upset and they tweeted at Warner Brothers, disappointed in the new Warner Brothers film, The Witches. I myself am a huge advocate of celebrating differences and especially limb differences. Okay, next slide.
Why are they disappointed?
This is two Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Was there much thought given as to how this representation of limb differences would affect the limb difference community?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yes, I'm aware this is a film. These are witches, but witches are essentially monsters. My fear is that children will watch this film unaware that it massively exaggerates the Roald Dahl, original, and that limb differences begin to be feared. Well, first of all, limb differences are always kind of feared. You know what I'm saying? Like, who the fuck wants to have two fingers?
And to be fair, you got to expose people to reduce the fear. I mean, I understand your contextual.
That's number five on my list is good. Exposure.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you this, allow yourself to be offended.
Let's move it up.
It won't kill you.
This
is number five.
Let's make it number three.
Bad feelings must be dealt with in order to be resolved.
So, resiliency.
Yeah, you fucking pussies.
Resiliency.
Welcome to that skate park.
Hey, listen.
You fucking pussies.
I have a friend of mine is a Army Ranger. And he was a West Point guy and everything, and he's the one always at me to try to run for office. He goes, your country needs you, you gotta do it, your country needs you. It's like his war is going my drill into my brain. It makes me feel so guilty. But he said as he was paratrooping, you know, he was a paratrooper, and when he jumped out of the plane into Fallujah, always the last thing he said to himself before he pulled the cord was, don't be a pussy.
Well, first of all,
don't be a pussy.
I find that statement highly offensive. A pussy is a derogatory term.
The pussy community could be offended.
The pussy community is very offended by. But yes, I mean, you cannot keep. So, but first of all, now let me show you the result of this nonsense in the limb difference community. Anne Hathaway issued an apology.
Oh my gosh!
The poor actress who's just wants the job, didn't write the show, didn't create the characters, had nothing to do with it, issued an apology to the limb difference community. I mean, how sad is that?
Yeah,
you know,
it's
and you know,
right.
She's a good, she's, I'm sure, a sweet girl.
Yes, beyond.
It's like, do you really, she needs to. Anne Hathaway is apologizing after her new movie, The Witches, received backlash. Okay, here we go.
Let me begin by saying, yeah, it best be sensitive to the feeling of appearance of others, not of some scrambling PC fear. But because not hurting others seems like a basic level of decency, we should always try
to. Yes, of course.
Let's adopt that statement as policy.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a good policy position. So copy that for us, please. And we'll just incorporate it into our document.
Well, again, contextual context, right? So Anne Hathaway saying, look, the intent of this piece is not to offend. However, if it was an entire movie about limb differenced people and how silly and dumb they are, then you're like, well,
we can tell the difference. And she goes on and on and on.
So
she jumps the shark by going on. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but I commend the opening statement and
I adopt it as a policy. I want to read it. You know
why? Right,
hold on. Okay. I want to read it. Go back. I want to read it because this is the pathetic silliness that we've gotten
to. Okay, go ahead.
As someone who believes in inclusivity and really detests cruelty, really, really detests, I owe you all an apology for the pain caused. I'm sorry I did not connect limb difference with the GHW the look of the character was brought to me. And if I had, I assure you this. Of course she didn't connect limb difference with whatever because it's a non-connection. You're forcing this connection.
And remember, there's
no connection.
Remember the newscaster we had here that had the partial limb issues? Bree Walker.
Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah.
She's on,
is she around still? We should get her to ring in.
She was on television for years in Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bree
Walker. Awesome.
Yeah.
Damn.
How dare you?
Well,
what's interesting is the cycle of punishment. Bree. We have to punish Anne Hathaway, and then the redemption comes in her apology, which
is silly.
I know
what I wanted to ask. Is Roald Dahl still alive?
I don't think so. This is old ass.
Because Roald Dahl is sort of a super woke dude.
Is he now?
Always was. He sort
no,
of, his
James
stories
and the Giant Peach.
His stories were always sort of communist parables.
Oh.
If you really look at them.
He's dead, yeah. Thank God. 1990, yeah. Oxford.
But I mean, like Mary Poppins is a communist, you know, little commentary
what
too.
What are you fucking saying?
Feed the birds. The banker's a bad man.
La, 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 la. What are you going to tell me? Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is one of the greatest movies. It teaches children to be terrified of breaking the rules, and it's a great
It's about the poor being mistaken advantage of, but they're so virtuous that they find their way to the top of the company.
Oh,
it's
like, fuck. Now yeah, I have to hate that fucking movie.
No, don't
too.
Hate it. Don't hate it. It's okay. These parables are good. They're good parables.
They teach children to be good.
Yes,
but
and not to question hierarchies, and they're all good, all
okay.
good stuff.
All right, okay, so let's start with one more. I got one right. more.
Wait, I've got three major categories:
wow.
canceling, no concrete thought, rational, critical reasoning.
Thoughts
only.
Are gray.
Critical reasoning, yeah, and exposure, resiliency. Don't be a pussy. Go
don't
ahead.
Be a pussy is had that phrase. Yeah. So that okay. one goes. Science produces empirical data known as facts. Mm. Is that right?
Yes. Well.
Facts
science
or claims
produces,
backed
science,
up by scientific
technically,
evidence.
Technically, science predicts theory. It produces theory.
But it's empirical
science
evidence.
Science is an attempt to use objectivity to arrive at the truth.
Okay,
to get
the
as
truth.
Close to the truth as we can.
Well,
yeah, truth. So how about we start with truth exists?
I agree. I agree.
That's number four. Truth
that's
exists.
A huge one. Now that's in question.
Yeah, truth exists, and then science is a
well,
means.
That's what I wrote. Science is the closest thing we have
yeah,
to
yeah, science
truth.
is a technique, or it's a process, right. is a process to arrive as close as possible to the truth.
I agree.
Attempt to arrive at the truth.
And lastly, mm-hmm. not all white males are the devil.
Most of them.
Nor is everything they've
Wait
created completely tainted.
I agree with that, but most of them are the
most of the devil? White guys? Look, I got a booth full of white guys. I love my
case,
world
case
is guys.
Over
yeah.
there. It's like you've seen.
Well, listen.
Yeah, they dude, behave themselves around you.
Like, I know, but as a woman who's raising two white devils and
oh,
a husband
that's
and
right.
you
that's
and
why you're
I mean,
sensitive to it all.
Well, of course, I don't want my a world Jews as
witness. This is like
that's true. You guys are Jews. You're exempt from the white guy stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And Annie is, you know, what is black? Filipino.
Is he mixed?
Yeah.
Good for him. So I move that we adopt this as policy.
I love it.
Yeah, we're going to print this. We're going to tweet it.
I love it.
Yeah, seriously.
I know.
Nadav, you can help us write this all out.
It's silly that we even have to put this stuff
it's
down.
It's so simple and so clear
stupid.
And so right.
Yeah, well,
comrade.
You know, I'm done.
Well,
I'm done
well
with the
done,
wokes.
Comrade.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Thank
I really
you.
Am proud of you.
I'm done with
all
the
all those years at Cambridge. Oxford?
No, I spent 1 year abroad at Oxford. I can't even claim that.
Oh my God, this is too good.
Philosophy.
All right, have I missed?
There we
have,
are.
We, have we done everything? Oh,
that
oh.
one's a good one. Oh, hold on, I had one more woke.
Somebody's
got to show
give
you.
Me that because
oh,
I am.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
I'm going to tweet the fuck out of that.
I think
with
we should
our
print
policies.
It.
Yes.
Let's print this.
That what? Is a T-shirt, guys.
I know it's beautiful, and it reminds
Who
me of old K-Rock. At
that's
what is
from
it?
El Javier DG.
It's beautiful.
Oh, that is
really cool and really communist. I like it.
What's in the black in the background under the RR? What is that?
That's you, bro. It's your muscles.
Oh, that's just my ness.
It's people.
Oh no, it's people. It's piles of
people.
It's a flag.
I love it.
Oh, we need a flag.
Oh, it is a flag.
Yeah, we need a flag.
Okay, bring up this other item. In the this was on Twitter today. This was sent
God,
to me.
God, I love that. I love that art.
By the way, shout out to Rob Eiler for sending me the limb difference issue. And then this is from Mike. My husband's tennis instructor. Ooh. Go back one more. The AP guidelines. I don't know if you remember back one more. Remember the AP book?
Oh, yeah.
When you wrote in college, do not use derogatory terms such as insane, crazy, /crazed, nuts, or deranged, mm-hmm. unless they are part of a quotation that is essential to the story. Mm-hmm. Avoid using mental health terms to describe unrelated issues. Don't say that an awards show, for example, was schizophrenic.
So therefore, all language must be concrete with no simile or metaphor.
No, and no adjectives, no descriptors.
No, you can't use simile. It's not like, hey, man, it was like crazy going to that.
This
nope.
is crazy. No.
Okay, so you and I are going to have to use those words more because they're allowed to be used in a quote. So if people want to quote us, they're allowed to use it.
Well, so let me tell you, this is exactly why in your mom's house, we just let it all fly. Because
look,
it's starting
to
police language.
I have no addict. I've treated over 10,000 drug addicts, and none of them ever had a problem with the term addiction. And they love calling themselves junkies and addicted.
Of course.
And it's they own it. They own that. It's what they had. So
oh, but
please,
not for this. Thank you for this. Addicted is another word casually thrown around, which is something those of us in recovery often struggle with. Heart emoji. Next response, please.
Don't be a pussy.
Can we say bonkers? One asks. No. No. Bananas? Yes. Bonkers? No. Bonkers is thought to stem from terms related to being hit on the head, etc., and still means crazy mad.
Hold
banana,
on. So being yeah, hit on the head can't be thought of as causing any brain dysfunction?
That's violence, too. It's violence against women. This is a misogynistic stance. Yeah.
Okay. We need a fifth. We need a fifth policy.
Bananas is just a way of saying something is silly. I mean, it's, so, okay. I mean, now you're being, you're taking into consideration the bananas population.
We just
the
need, like, no language police.
No language. Language police.
Yeah, number five.
Just stop
it. No language police.
Stop it. This is what 1984 newspeak.
No language police.
This is newspeak.
Be empathic or be sensitive. Yeah, whatever. I mean, be reasonable.
Reasonable. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Number five.
Should we just go on to answering white questions and browns? I feel bad. Like I don't want to go too long.
I have a white in here somewhere. I do have a white. Hang on.
I'm always like, oh gosh, I still want to help people with their
no, but people,
problems.
You open by saying people like the rational recovery, so we need to get a little rational recovery forward.
But most importantly, why does cream of wheat make me shit?
For this, that's why I told you the story about my
the fiber,
yerba fiber.
You think it's just so much fiber in one?
It literally is like drinking cream of wheat. It's fantastic. It's no calories, 0 calories.
But then it doesn't.
And it does all the work. It does better because it's psyllium husk.
It doesn't make you diarrhea, though.
It does not make me diarrhea.
Cream of wheat makes me diarrhea.
Oh.
It's too much.
That's our new song. Cream of wheat makes me diarrhea. It's too much. Yeah, you too much.
I like it a lot.
Cream of wheat is, by the way,
so good.
Super high carb.
I know.
It's so much carb.
I don't do it every now and then. Just every now and then.
All right, good. I have another
question for you, too.
Yeah, yeah, go, James.
I've been switching to pot now instead of alcohol to sleep at night.
Okay, you'd mentioned CBD for a while.
Two milligrams.
Oh, yeah, pot, right.
Two
right.
milligrams.
No, Tom had that going,
mommy.
Right?
Yeah. I wanted to ask you this, though, because I sleep better on pot than I've ever slept. My dreams are wild. I'm, like, resolving issues with my mom.
So here's what worries me about all this stuff. It is...
It's fucking great.
So one night I came home, and Susan had taken, like, a large dose of CBD, and she was giddy. Like, it was fun, but she was giddy. And then she sort of adjusted it down, and it really helped with her pains and muscle and this and that. And then she had full-blown withdrawal when she tried to stop it.
Oh.
So I'm like, what if this THC... So I worry about the THC, you know...
Okay, you know, I'm only 2 millis, dude.
Just be careful. That's all. I think the key is always take breaks from these things.
Breaks. You know? Oh, so I should alternate one night pot, the other night alcohol.
Yeah.
Alternate.
Yeah. Next night tobacco, just to keep it real.
Or like a pill.
Xanax.
So just alternate
something.
The drugs. Gotcha.
Melatonin.
Okay. Just for the next 69 days until the president is gone. And I can.
Are you having trouble sleeping with that?
Of course. Until this fucking asshole's gone.
Orgasm in dental class.
Oh,
this is
cool.
Your white thing.
Okay.
I'm a dental student. I had a lab exam. Make a tooth out of wax. Took 3 hours. About 20 minutes before the deadline, I started to become nervous and worried that I wouldn't finish. Out of nowhere, I had tension in my gut that I feel before a wet dream orgasm. I wasn't thinking anything sexual or stimulating. I was also didn't even get a boner. About 15 minutes before the end of lab, and much to my surprise, I ejaculated right into my scrubs. Luckily, I had my sweater and covered myself. He's got to pull his sweater down. No one could see it. After the lab, I checked my pants, confirmed it was not piss. It was just normal semen, or what he calls jizz.
Jizz.
What could cause such a random spontaneous ejaculation? Could it be sympathetic nerve stimulation due to the stress? Yes, sir, it can be, and it does happen once in a while.
That you can spontaneously jizz because you're so nervous?
Yeah. I mean, women can spontaneously orgasm, right? And it's usually, the more common way you see this is people doing lower abdominal exercises. People can
you
do
went
that.
Like this.
Well, you know, leg lifts and things, or actually at the bar, leg lifts, kind of, I've heard people reporting that.
And they jizz?
But in particular, if you're on any medication. This is like, I wonder if he's on trazodone or something funny.
What
like
is
that.
Trazodone?
It's an antidepressant, but it has all these funny jizz effects. Jizz actions.
Jizz effects.
There's something on a clip I was anxious to see. Do you mind?
Silly. I love it.
Hole in face guy. What does that mean?
Yo.
I've been anxious to see this for a while since
Bruh.
I've seen this.
Question for the ladies.
Uh-oh.
Why? Do you always push away the nice guys and go for the douchebags?
Well, Mr. Cyclops.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's meth. This is our new.
No, that's meth.
This is our new Fed smoker. I think this may be.
Are you serious?
This is a Fed smoker in evolution.
Wait, I'm genuinely.
I mean, unless he had a medical procedure that did that, which is possible, but it looks a little chronic to me.
Chronic meaning everywhere.
And yeah, there's a little bit. No, the border looks a little like atrophic. And unless that's a skin cancer or something that got out of control. But
what does atrophic mean? Atrophy?
Yeah, sort of not. Yeah, atrophied. And the there's many picking spots on this young man's face, which makes me immediately go meth. However, seemingly no awareness about this, which I love.
Right. That's what's curious is that there is a legit sized hole in between his eyes. And it works
like literally an eye socket.
Yeah.
Between his eyes.
And it's really alarming. I mean, can't that get infected fairly easily?
Yeah. And go right to the brain. Although the course to the brain would not be this way. It would have to go down into the cavernous sinus here and go back. Which is fucked. Yeah, it's fucked.
But I do see the other picking stuff there.
Is there more to this man? Can we find him?
Just curious. Been rejected more times than I can count. Only to find out that they go for the douchebags. That either hit them, cheat on them, treat them like shit. And every other thing under the sun.
He doesn't have the stare, nor the blown pupils.
Or the teeth.
A little grindy-ish, but that could be his speech. It could be nothing.
Is it possible to do a lot of meth and have your weight still be heavy?
Of course.
Is that right?
Did you not see Fed Smoker?
Well, he wasn't.
He was not underweight.
No, but he wasn't. I mean, this guy's heavier.
But I think this is early in the process if we've got a real thing going here. But he may not be. It may be. We're just speculating. But he does have a common fallacy. The nice guy fallacy.
He's right about that.
That's a common fallacy that males maintain. Mm-hmm. Men do not understand women at all.
Yeah.
We don't. And we feel like we should be able to sort of earn your love by being
cool and nice and sweet. And, that's like pussy kryptonite. Mm-hmm. That'll make your pussy dry when a guy is like, I love you and I did all this stuff for you.
And yes. It's like, and so you get at the very best outcome is you get pushed into friend zone.
Yeah.
And then those guys end up just stalking for 3 years. That's full on, Christina, that is full on stalking behavior. I say that with peace and love.
You've said it before and I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, that's full on stalking.
Well, but here's why. It's not that women are such bitches. It's that imagine how unappealing that is if somebody's kowtowing to everything.
Just think about humans and their relation to goods. Goods that are too available, we don't put much value on.
Right. It's the basis
that's all humans.
Perceived theory of value. Mm-hmm. is capitalism.
Is this back to Baudrillard?
No, it's capitalism.
Baudrillard fucked me up.
Perceived theory of value. It's not what the intrinsic value is. It's what your perception of the value is.
What were his Disneyland worlds called? Simulacrums?
Simulations.
By the way, the simulacra stuff I dug.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
That was interesting. But everything else was just a waste of my time.
Talks in circles.
Yeah. Yes,
talks
in
circles.
Yes.
But he's interesting.
Les Français is all I got to say about that.
But I do like the French. They are better than us culturally. Don't you think they fuck?
I'm going to expose how
skinny.
I'm going to expose how gay I am right now.
Oh.
So I like musicals. I used to sing them when I was a kid.
What?
Hold on. But this is not the gay part yet.
Oh, so, that's not gay enough.
I like old musicals, which my son announced to me. It makes me super gay.
Like what? Hello, Dolly?
Yeah, whatever. It's 50s, 60s. I sing all that stuff. It's pathetic because it's so easy to sing.
Wait a minute. What's your favorite jam?
Favorite musical?
Like what's your jam? Like what do you secretly listen to?
Oh, I don't really listen. I'm not quite there.
I've
sung all these things. Yeah.
What's your favorite?
The easiest.
Do you like West Side Story?
Not that much.
Wow, that's like the only one I can tolerate because there's Puerto Ricans.
And there's also real music involved.
That's true.
It's Leonard Bernstein.
What do you feel about Cats? Do you like Cats?
Hate it.
Yeah, that's super lame.
Yeah, super lame. But I love Wicked, and I loved. You don't like Wicked?
I haven't even seen it,
dude. I love Phantom. I'm crazed about that.
Oh my God, I'd fucking kill myself.
So this isn't the gay part yet.
Oh, fuck.
So let's get to this. which is that there's a new Netflix series. This is the gay part, called Emily in Paris.
No, I know it. I've been watching it.
Okay, so the fact that I watched it and I'm bringing it up is the gay part for
you. I love it.
So, but it is a beautiful homage to French culture, I thought.
It's lovely, and her outfits are stunning. And I don't know how a 24-year-old affords designer handbags every day.
It does not happen. None of it's complete bullshit, except for the way the French behave.
Yes.
But I'm fascinated by the woman that speaks perfect French and perfect English.
Yeah.
The boss.
Yeah, she's stunning.
Her French is like, I spoke French forever and ever and ever.
You did?
Yeah.
I like
and her
it.
French is like raised French. That was perfect French. And her English, if you notice, is the same way. So something happened there. I don't know what that was. I'm intrigued by her, the person, the actress.
You
like,
are
what's going
so
on?
G-A-Y. Because my husband will walk in on me watching it, and he's like, what the fuck is this gay shit? Like, he won't even let me.
Yeah.
Do you watch it with Susan?
I think what fun you and I could have.
I know. What the fuck?
I could be your gay friend.
Because I got him into Sex and the City. Oh. He secretly, but it's
that
the same shit.
Stand.
This is Sex and the City for teens.
Except it is a homage to a beautiful culture that we don't see enough of these days.
I know,
right?
But it's the same writer. It's the same guy. That's why all the girls talk like gay men, if you'll notice.
Yes.
None of these women act like women. They act like gay men.
Yes.
And they dress like how gay men want women to dress. Yes. Why is Emily walking around in stilettos on cobblestone roads?
Right.
And like, she's jogging every morning looking perfect. It's ridiculous.
Yes. It's beyond.
But
it's beyond ridiculous. But
it's silly. I have to watch it.
So why did I bring it up?
Because you're gayness. You were saying.
Yeah, it was something about the French.
I love the French. I like their culture.
Oh, so I was saying.
They're elitist.
This is a great...
spend
some time losing yourself in the French culture there.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That's my regret. I don't have many in life. I should have studied in France for a year.
I know, me too.
Right? Yeah. And I said I was safe and I just went to an English speaking country. Mm. I should have had a French boyfriend. Fuck the shit out of my French boyfriend for a year. Mm-hmm. And like,
look at you're lighting
69.
Up.
69.
Would have been so great.
Just like menage a trois. And like, I never really cut loose that far. I should have.
It's scary going someplace if you haven't spoken the language for a long time.
I bet.
And the French are brutish. They got this exactly right. If you do not speak their language just so.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Because if you haven't, I haven't spoken in so many years, and sometimes I'm pretty good, and sometimes I'm like not, and I can see dramatically how different they are and how they treat me when I'm speaking.
Oh, for sure.
When you really make the effort and you do a good job with their language, they are like so appreciative, like, oh, yes, you're well done, our beautiful language, you're paying attention, and if you fuck it up, it's the exact opposite. You're killing our beautiful language. Now back to the show.
Hey, Dr. Drew. This is Jake. I got a question about brown for you. Surprise. When I make brown, sometimes it takes upwards of 20 minutes for it all to come out. I don't know if that's an issue or a problem. Some people say that I'm just wasting time, but most of the time it really just takes that long. Is there something wrong with me? Do I need...
We need a little more data.
More fiber? Anyway, love the show.
Like,
thanks, Mom.
More fibers cures everything GI. I mean, everything bowel-wise, colon-wise. And we need more information. Like, how is he in NE? Is he in NE? Spends 4 hours in there evacuating things, getting his whole thing done. So, what do you think?
I think 20 minutes is an admirable amount of time.
Admirable.
Yeah, it's what I use. It's how I curate my TikToks. I take my phone in there, that's
so
when
use
I do
your
my,
time wisely.
My
yeah,
best
I like
work.
That. Okay.
Yeah.
Her best brown and her best TikTok.
Yeah, just use that
together.
Time wisely.
Multitasking, honey. That's a good way to go.
Yeah.
Next.
Yo, what's going on, guys? What up, Dr. Drew? My name's Mike. So I have gone to the doctor a few times and gotten my ear looked at because it feels like there's fluid in it. Mm. And I already have messed up ears as it is. I have the cauliflower ear from training and all that. Mm. He said that everything's good with it, but it still hurts right now. And I went to an ENT, and they looked at it and said there's nothing in it. It looks fine. There's no infection. I don't know. It's crazy, but let me know.
All right, man. Not an uncommon thing. Sometimes it's TMJ. Sometimes it's a viral thing. Sometimes it's medication. Sometimes it's nothing. Like the eustachian tube's not emptying normally. It was just sort of... It's a nothing. More
it's
often
a nothing
not.
Burger.
Once,
as
once
they
you've
say.
Looked, had an ENT look at it, I mean, you know what?
One time I was in Mexico on vacation, and I thought I had an earache as well. And the doctor came, he made a house call at the hotel, and he goes, "No,
whack.
You're stressed out."
Oh,
he goes, "You need to take a Valium," and he gave me. He goes, "Have a glass of tequila," and have a Valium. And he gave me a Valium and I had tequila.
You know what?
It was stress.
Mexican doctors are the best.
They kind of are, dude. I was like, this is amazing.
Did he offer any cocaine or anything to while he was at it?
Yeah, he just handed a Valium to me and I drank. And that was, I think it was the muscles.
Yeah, it's actually their muscles actually even in the ear that tighten and can prevent the eardrum from moving and make it feel sort of muffled and things.
Yeah,
stuff like
that's
that.
What happened to me.
Big fan of the show, advocate of the Rational Revolution.
Thank you.
I have a question about my lady parts. Diagnosed with genital herpes 3 years ago. I have a breakout at least once a year. Antiviral medications work well. The breakouts tend to come while my immune system is dampened. I realize that is typical for viruses. Oh, the last two breakouts have occurred shortly after I shaved my vagina.
Nuh-uh.
Shaving will bring it out. Yeah.
Is that right? Why?
Yeah. We don't know. The thought is it makes a little break in the skin and somehow the virus likes that or whatever. Long distance relationship, therefore do not feel the need to shave often, but I do prefer it. Is there any way to prevent the irritation from shaving and possibly a future breakout? Blah, blah, blah. I thought about going full bush, but I'm not really into the 70s porno look. Any advice? Greatly appreciate it. So I have not heard that,
waxing
does it.
Right. So
waxing probably be okay. And then clippers. Instead of the razor, a clipper would be okay.
I would go for clippers over waxing even because they're still ripping hair from the follicle.
I've never heard of people complain about outbreaks
from
that. That's
fantastic.
Yeah. I got to read this one. I've not read it yet and I'm interested. A man recently gave a woman some magic mushrooms and she ate a pretty good dose. She told me during the peak of it, she had multiple spontaneous orgasms. I've never heard of that before or found anyone else with a similar experience. What's even more intriguing is that she told me that her sex dreams of the past few years have actually caused her physical pain in the vagina. That's somebody who has multiple. After her orgasmic trip, the pain actually went away. She was able to enjoy her sex dreams. This sounds crazy to me. Do you think this is true or she is lying because she wants me to come up there in May? Quote, my theory is that the trip forced her to relive. So no, she does not do the little girl voice, blah, blah, blah. No. Okay. As we've discussed before, some women are multiply orgasmic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you're multiple orgasmic, you can actually orgasm to the point that you either have exhaustion or pain.
That's
sort of what happens with these women. There's something that's called persistent sexual arousal disorder.
Yeah, we've made fun of that on your mom's house quite a few times.
And those people are kind of in pain. Well, it was a guy you made fun of, with it, but the women you more commonly get it.
And he transitioned to a woman.
No.
Yeah. And,
fascinating.
And I think it calmed down, right?
Well the estrogen might calm it down. The estrogen.
He transitioned to a woman. And
wow, is that interesting?
And then
that's
it went
so
away.
Interesting.
Yep, correct.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So crazy.
But and medication can cause orgasm spontaneously, as we were talking about with the spontaneous white, though that wasn't even an orgasm. That was just spontaneous white. This show is dedicated to white and orgasm. You like it? You good?
So much jizz and orgasms.
But women's orgasmic functioning is a wide spectrum from one single, very similar to the male, to multiple to the point of exhaustion, like dozens or hundreds.
A persistent arousal disorder.
And then persistent sexual arousal disorder.
You know what I was just thinking when you said that men don't understand women? I think what women find attractive
in men
is confidence.
Yes.
And when
we talk about this, competency.
Competency and confidence.
Yeah.
And when a man is too willing to, you can walk all over him.
Mm-hmm.
But the same goes for men with women who are too,
to some extent,
right? Too catering and too whatever. It's not attractive. We don't want somebody that's always up your ass.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, that up your assness is, it sort of means neediness too. Neediness is the most kryptonitic of all the emotions from a male
pussy.
To the female. Yeah, pussy kryptonite. Yeah.
Well, because children are needy, right? So you associate that with like being a mom. Like, you know, my toddlers are needy for a reason.
We don't want that. You want competence. You want somebody to take care of you. I can't stop reading these emails because they're pretty
good. I love it.
Long live the Rational Revolution. Now, you need to open with that with every email and I will read your email. Can you please understand a phenomenon, help me, experiencing within my wife's scurvy twat?
Right. That's a Fed smoker reference. Her scurvy twat.
Okay. Before I explain the sensation, I should preface by saying it occurs during sex and only when she's in the middle of a powerful 10 to 12 Benadryl grade orgasm. And Benadryl can change orgasm. While she's ramping up to climax, I can feel something changing inside her vagina. Something almost reveals itself in my mind's eye to the tip of the peener, where it splits and feels like I've come to understand the back of her vagina. I feel like I hit a firm, almost cartilage-like wall that is called
cervix.
The cervix, yes. I've only caught a glimpse of this mysterious sensation a handful of times, and I can't stick around to collect data as the poisonous white demands release. When I ask her about it, she doesn't know I'm talking about. What is this? No. So for some women, those that are able to orgasm with intercourse often will have a significant contracting of the vaginal walls.
Yes.
And sometimes the uterus drops down with that as everything contracts. And so that's the cervix coming into reach of his little peni.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. Let's talk.
The cervix.
Speaking of Benadryl, I would like a Benadryl guy tribute. How about that?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Really?
10 to 12. No, 10 to 12 Benadryl won't kill you, but it'll put you in psychosis is what you said.
It could, yes. It could.
Did you ever know anybody that took a lot of Benadryl on your addiction?
Yeah, not an addiction. At a county hospital once, I saw a woman who took a bottle of Benadryl, and she came in wicked ass crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm using that term with peace and love.
Peace and love.
She had what's called an anticholinergic delirium, and she was wild.
Yeah.
Wildly crazy.
Bonkers, I might say.
Bonkers for sure. Oh, crazy. Here's this guy.
There he is.
Oh, yeah.
Before you have sex.
Uh-oh.
If you want to be horny for 2 or 3 hours like you've never been in your life.
No, thanks.
And you have access to marijuana, too. Good weed. Listen to me.
Okay. What is he huffing?
A nitrous, I guess.
Oh. But nitrous makes you really out of it. You couldn't talk.
Yeah, but you could get pretty used. You know what I mean? This guy seems very skilled at a lot of these
true.
Things.
True. Okay, yeah. He's huffing. Yeah. Whew, he's
Steve-O
huffing.
Used to do shit tons of nitrous.
I guess, because when I used to do it in college, you can't. You're just in a Lego land.
Yeah.
You go wah, wah, wah.
You get kind of tolerant to it. So, yes, continue. This
guy's dead.
So, yeah.
This guy?
That's one of our classic YMH cool guys, the 10 to 12 Benadryl guy. And we found out he unfortunately passed away. And along with his passing, we found some new videos of his. So, we'd like to run you through those.
I know. Tragic and surprising loss of the 10 to 12 Benadryl guy.
Well, I was going to say before we got into it, this guy looks like really in trouble with drugs. Like he is gonna really hurt himself.
Well, how does he look here?
He looks like he already died in that one. Sorry to tell you, but let's go.
They want a girl around. I mean, all they do is talk a lot, and it doesn't even make any sense. They're not good at chess. They're not good at video games. All they do is talk a lot and show their gorgeous little body, and then they pretend like it's God's gift to the earth, and you can't touch it or have it. Well, who cares? To hell with them. The only thing they're good for is sex.
Wisdom. Spilling wisdom.
I just snotted. That was, yeah.
Spilling wisdom. Well, so he gets a little hateful here. Is there more?
A cat is good to hug and love forever. You're stupid enough to want to marry a stupid woman of any kind? Of this place? A human woman, man? Are you out of your mind?
Well, this is what happens to the male without the female around.
Yes.
We spin.
You spin.
We go bad.
You go incel. He's full incel.
He's full incel, and we need female companions.
Yes, as do women. Look, I mean, it's vice versa, man.
Yeah, I really vividly noticed this the first time. You have Tom and your boys are older. Go on a boys' trip sometime.
Okay.
Okay. And we were, I forget where Paulina and Susan went. I think they went to, I don't know, some skating, ice skating thing. And we went to San Francisco. And we would go from the baseball stadium to watching sports in the hotel room.
Oh my God.
Back to some sort of sports bar. This is what we did all day. And at one point while we were watching sports in the hotel room after getting back from a baseball game, I noticed there was like an outline of chips and peanuts around me, like a murder scene, like an outline of a murder victim. And I thought to myself, oh my God, we're losing it. And the first thing we all noticed though was when it was time to go to the game, we'd watch sports until one of us would go, let's go. Coats on, we go. There's no, hang on, wait a minute. It's going to take a minute. We just go. We just leave. That was the first thing we noticed. We could just, when it was time to leave, we left.
Wow.
And there was no prep. There was only putting a coat on in the hall of the hotel. But we left. But the depravity into which we sank was.
But why? What is this?
It's unchecked. You need estrogen. It checks us.
It's just, you guys you don't take care of yourself.
There's a famous biological anthropologist at Rutgers. I don't know if he's still around. His name was Lionel Tiger, strangely. And he was made famous the statement that throughout human history, females have tamed males.
That's true.
You have provided the male with culture, essentially.
May I say something? This is part of the rational revolution. I'm just going to bring this up as a discussion point. I could be way the fuck off base here, mm-hmm. but I'm a feminist. I identify as feminist. Mm-hmm. I'm a cisgendered lady, but I also identify.
What's your pronoun?
My pronouns are they, them. I also.
Oh no.
No, I'm she, her.
Z.
Mom.
G.
Momster. The thing is, I never felt that the narrative was completely convincing that men were oppressing us and just keeping us down and keeping us from doing
stuff. Strangely,
I don't buy it.
Men suppress everybody. You know what I mean? They've always used, throughout the evolution of our anthropology, we've used brute force to do everything. That's where it started. Right. And just women were just subject to the same thing that other men were subject to be fair. Right.
Oh, right. You guys are always just kind of a-holes that way. But I also think there's something in the biology of what women do. Right. I have the children. Mm-hmm. I have to look after the children. Therefore, by fucking necessity, I'm the one that's home.
Well, but the have to part is the part that calls into question. And there's a part that people have to get very honest about. Yeah. Ready for a little rational?
Go ahead, bro.
Is that there is something about the female biology that once you have a child, that desire to be in proximity of the child is profound.
Yes.
And it's hard. Literally, the motivational systems makes it hard to come and go for 8 hours and things.
Yes, yes.
While the male has much greater ease with that. We like to be around our kids, but we don't have that same, like, oh my God.
No, Tom does not have the same pull to the children.
Yeah,
that
it's a pull. But, and so women choose to stay home because of that pull. Now, we can ask men to stay home. No problem. No problem.
Right.
And you can feel reassured that everything's going well because somebody from the kid's gene pool is there watching, right? And maybe help you get away from that pull. But you got to talk about that pull and not pretend it's not there.
Right. It's definitely there.
And the pretending it's not there part, whenever you pretend a motivational system isn't there, or that, you know what I mean?
It's nature. It's crazy.
Whatever it is, just get honest about what it is and we can change what we do with it. But if you pretend it's not there, it wins. It always wins.
That is very, very true. That is very true. Thank you. Good job, Dr. Drew. Good job. Now, however, Yana, let me state for the record, I don't believe that all of the male patriarchal blah, blah, blah is rooted in this inherently evil thing of wanting to keep women down. Having experience, there are good men, there are bad men in the world. Can we pause at this? Yes.
Yes.
Good and bad.
Yes.
There's also a protection mechanism in place that goes with this nature thing of women staying home. I feel it's maybe a paternal drive that men were like, no, just stay home. You take care of the babies. I'll go fight the wars.
Yeah,
I'll go make the living.
Yeah.
You just fucking stay here cook and clean. It's awesome.
Well, we don't even need all that. We just need to know that we need to be doing the things necessary to protect the family.
I don't think that's
our motivational system.
Right. And I don't think that, but the feminist narrative that I grew up on was that the male oppressor, mm-hmm. this is an oppressive system that ruins that. It's like, well, yes and no. I understand. We need choice to get out of the house.
The question we have to ask ourselves is, what do you want to do with hierarchies?
Nature operates in hierarchy. Everything fucking operates in a hierarchy.
In every biological system we know, that's true.
Of course.
Maybe the Volvox doesn't or something. You know Volvox is?
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
It's a single cellular organism that forms into these spheres. Okay. They kind of work together.
But everything in nature exists in a hierarchical system.
There it is. See,
yeah. Okay, so that's the only thing that doesn't operate in hierarchy.
But even their little Volvox is inside, so even it has a hierarchy. There you go.
And I don't have a problem with it.
So we need to sort of refine. I think I'm becoming super, super Hegelian as I'm getting older.
Horizons of whatever.
No. That? Phenomenology.
I know. I like it. But Hegel's the horizons.
That's Heidegger. Heidegger's got the horizons and ecstasies and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Hegel is the spirit, the
spirit of the age.
Yeah, the zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist, yes.
And he says that there's a thing, a thesis, and then there's an antithesis, and then you form a synthesis.
Yes.
And I'm every time we come into these conflicts in this country, I think we're gonna synthesize this. We're gonna get the good and the bad from both, and we're gonna get more into the good of both of them. I have faith in that. I have faith in that. The Rational Revolution dictates.
We're going to start
if
it.
If we stay with it, if you cancel canceling, that's a good step in the right
Fuck
direction.
Canceling.
Fuck
so
canceling.
Silly.
Serial killer cool gal.
Oh, this is interesting. I think you might like this.
I think so too.
You and I are so funny with this gender stuff.
I'm convinced one day that I'm going to become a serial killer. You want me to explain why?
Yes.
I'll explain. Every single person in my life, I've thought about how I would kill them, and I've done my, like, due diligence to make sure I could get away with it. And I'm not just talking about, like, think about it. Like, I've actually planned it out to the teeth.
Maybe she should be in prison now.
You think so?
Before she actually does do this.
We can't. That's too much like
if
that
If someone
movie.
Cuts me off in traffic, I'm not the type to just yell at them or flick them off and just let them go on. No, no, no. No. I will follow you. I will follow you. And if you stop, I will stop. And it can get heated and very, very aggressive and very dangerous.
With that cute little smile.
And I don't listen or watch murder, like, podcasts or TV shows about it or anything like that. To just be like, oh my God. No, I do it simply because I'm like, oh, that's amazing. And I like compliment serial killers. And I'm like, mm-hmm, you just gave me an idea. We on it.
As one of my friends, a psychologist, pointed out, she said, you know, the female psychopaths, they're the dangerous ones.
Yeah.
That's the ones you really got to worry about.
Yes.
They really do a lot of damage.
Well, there was a TikTok. Is the serial killer TikTok on in that list, you guys, by any chance? There's a TikTok I pulled where it explained the difference between male serial killers and females. The males are indiscriminate. Their motivation is sexual. Surprise. Mm-hmm. For women, it's highly motivated.
Relational.
And relational.
It's relational.
And it's plotted, and it's usually for money. Monetary. This is it. Oh, here we go.
The differences between male and female serial killers. Males typically kill for sexual gratification, whether that's psychological or physical, and their victim's identity matters less. They typically kill strangers. In contrast, 90% of female serial killers know their victims, and they tend to kill for practical or justifiable reasons, at least in their minds, with the most common motivation being financial gain.
Or stealing babies. They'll steal babies. And
Yikes.
Stuff.
I know. Yeah. I love this chick, by the way. She's got a great TikTok feed at Live on the Edge. She has all these informational talks, like how to survive if an elevator crashes.
Oh, wow.
And like, what to do if you get caught in quicksand.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
A guy named James Fallon, a professor at Irvine, was studying psychopaths. And he has a website, and he has a TED Talk and stuff. And he, F-A-L-L, yeah, just like Jimmy Fallon. It was James, there he is, that's James Fallon. And he was doing fMRIs on these folks, and he used his family to do controls and to sort of compare against the psychopaths. And he said there was a thing of controls on his desk, you know, for a long time. He never got through it. And finally, one day he was going through it and opening and unblinding them to say, who was this? What was this one? And in the desk, he's like, oh, one of the psychopaths got into the mix here. Well, how did that get here? Whose is this? It was him. So it turns out he is a psychopath.
Yeah, I could tell you those eyes are crazy.
And he's a great guy. He's brilliant. And he's made study of psychopathy.
Yes, he wrote that book, The Psychopath Next Door. Is that what it is?
Something like that. And he went to talk to his mom and about what, you know, trying to figure out, because he believes this is a genetic thing. A lot of psychopath studies do believe it has some genetic quality to it. And his mom said, oh, no, don't ask about the dad's part of the family. Don't ask about it. Every other generation, they were killers. And they only killed family members.
Wow.
And back to Lizzie Borden.
What?
Yes.
Related to Lizzie Borden. That's his heritage. Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, so it is genetic, and what is a psychopath? They lack
empathy badly. Lizzie Borden, axe murderer. But emotions are sort of loose concepts for them. They're sort of as if things. You know, they kind of learn that people have emotions to understand how to communicate, and they sort of mimic them, but they don't really have them.
That's wild. Isn't that and wild? That's just genetics. That's just the brain mm-hmm. not being connected mm-hmm. properly. Yeah.
That's why we need rational. And even those people, James Fallon has kept his shit together his whole life being a rational person.
So how does he combat this? I mean, I guess because he got into academia. And
He said he during adolescence, he became hyper-religious,
uh-huh.
which is interesting. And he thinks that was some sort of compensation for this at the time. And then he says that, you know, he's the nicest, most gregarious, entertaining guy you'd ever want to meet. And he said, and he goes, this is how I am. I'm gregarious. Everyone thinks I'm normal. He goes, talk to my family. They know what an asshole I am. And they'll tell you.
So he can just turn it off and be a yeah. prick behind closed doors. And yell
which
at the
is,
dog.
Which
and...
are the ones that they killed, which is crazy. I want to do some more. We got any TikToks? Come on.
That's exciting.
I know, right? This has been a good rational review. This has been a rational recovery review.
I feel a catharsis here. I feel a sense of openness, and I feel a tide is turning. I don't know if you saw Dave Chappelle's monologue for SNL.
What do you think? I had a mixed reaction, because normally I want him to say things that nobody else can say, and he of course did
he
that.
He did.
What did you like? What did, maybe?
Well, I'll tell you something. As somebody, I've done stand-up for 17 years. The level of mastery that Dave Chappelle operates on, and that he could go out and do that, you know that he did not really rehearse that, because there's no venues
that
open.
I think that was the longest monologue in the history of SNL too. It was like 25
minutes.
It was
poignant. It was funny.
Yeah.
He took chances. One joke just fell flat. He acknowledged it and went on. It was a master class in stand-up.
Yeah.
And like I said, usually you rehearse stand-up for sometimes years before you would dare record it.
And go do 25 minutes in front of a national television
and
audience.
And his ease with, but anyway, he pushed back on the woke. And I went, oh,
but
that's
normally,
it. That's
normally he really pushes back on it.
Yeah.
I was looking for more of that.
Oh, you wanted it more?
Yeah, I wanted more pushback.
You greedy bitch.
Because he can do it. He can really do it.
But you know what? I think the timing is not great, because the nation...
Well, it was like right around the election.
It was too raw.
Yeah,
so if he had gone that deep on it, I think it's too much.
Yeah,
We're pushed
but
to capacity.
What did he say? Anything particular that jumped out at you? Because...
I love this line he had. He goes, you know, my great grandfather was a slave. And then he goes, and you'll notice on Netflix, Chappelle's show is on Netflix and it's on Hulu. And even my granddad was like, whatever he says, the N-word, you a slave. And I thought, oh, that was so, what a wonderful line. That, in a sense, we're all slaves now to the system of capitalism. And some everyone is to different degrees.
And he was making a comment about intellectual property, I thought.
Yeah, that too.
He would like a piece of that, please.
By the way, he audited, I think, Comedy Central at some point for the Chappelle show. And they did, in fact, pay him millions of dollars that they didn't give him. So he's not wrong. They rip you off, these motherfuckers.
He is one interesting and important dude.
Man,
he's important.
Generation.
This is why whenever he talks, I'm like, I want to hear it.
I would say Carlin was before, and now Dave Chappelle owns this era. The guy is, and then before Lenny Bruce.
Carlin was so, it was a very different thing.
Fantastic.
That was pushing back on the man, you know what I mean?
Right.
And now comedians kind of are the man.
I don't know.
Yes, you are. But you got to push back on the woke.
That's the problem.
And on the cancel and all that
stuff.
That's
the problem.
And that's hard. That's really hard to do.
No, not if you move to Texas.
Right.
Not if you're out of the system, my friend. What are you going to fire me from?
Because you want to push back on wherever the force is, you know, the excessive.
Hollywood.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's anyway.
Okay. More. TikToks. Here we go.
Oh, this.
If you think that gays should be allowed to have sex, then you also have to think that a brother and sister should be able to have sex, because you cannot control who you're attracted to.
What?
So, but hold on. Her argument is, if gayness is biological and you can't help who you're attracted to, why aren't you allowed to have sex with your brothers and your sisters? So she's kind of, is this a logical argument?
So she's trying to get a little logical loophole in everything.
Right. She's very literal. If gayness is genetic.
I'm trying to think.
Is incest genetic?
Karen isn't a sufficient enough term for this young lady. there is a different relationship in a family system from all others.
So that would negate her logic.
Her logic. It's not even, it's like trying to argue about biological systems. You miss the facts.
Yeah.
You miss the facts. That there are facts about being in a family system that biology is nicely put in place to prevent you from doing that.
Right, right, exactly. Yep. So anyway, interesting. And you know she heard that shit at home a lot. Like, you
or
know.
Or some idiot. Yeah. Keep going. Here we go. Oh, what's this?
Let me give you a tip that a lot of people don't know about a tape measure.
Uh-oh. Right underneath the bell clip, if you look, there's a number right there, 2.5 inches. That number represents the face from here to here.
You can stop playing that. This is just dads of TikTok. I found a new lane. It's like
dads of TikTok?
Yeah, like what boring dads would do if they were on TikTok, and they do shit like this. They're
oh
like,
my God.
Look at my...
I gotta, do you have a TikTok channel?
I do, yeah. We, I just post our clips.
Rash Revolution needs a TikTok.
Yeah, I post all our clips on there.
Okay, that flag needs to be flying.
I know. Yeah,
that artwork. It. Somebody's got to send me that artwork. Okay, give me another one.
That's Jacqueline Jewett. Julie Jerkoff. Forgive me, Kirkoff.
Face. She's like, fuck you. Masters. Master of Science. This is her master's degree. Oh, poor girl.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I know, and I just wanted to get on here and say something, you know, about these videos I make and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I do a lot of hard work in these videos.
Clearly.
I put, special effects in them, make them look good and stuff.
Yeah.
And I got over 4,000 fans.
Ooh.
And, you know, a woman gets on here and shakes her butt and shows her titties, her cleavage. She gets thousands of fucking likes. And a man like me and other people make a nice video, you know, and it looks good, and I get 8 likes, 10 likes, and I got over 4,000 fans. Can anybody explain that to me?
Huh.
Why that would be?
Can you explain
it? I don't know. That's crazy.
You're really, really
you
gonna...
No, I like doing this. I have a bunch of people in here I like very much.
Yeah.
But I just want to know why.
Well, I debate... You know, the quality of his videos.
I would agree with that.
I mean,
he looks like he's asleep.
Yeah, like sit up.
Yeah.
First of all,
asleep, and he's the lighting's all bad. He's
like, or turn it up, turn down the TV.
Right, exactly. He's got the TV blaring in the background. No, well, first of all, they're shitty videos. Number one.
Yeah.
But number two, you're never going to change that, sir.
Well, yeah.
That sex sells. Or sex attracts the eyes, you know?
Sex attracts my eyes. I love looking at beautiful models, at women, too. It's just beauty will always capture the eye over a weird guy laying in bed.
Yes.
You know, it's just fucking...
I think we have to come to terms with... This is peace and love.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. Peace and love. Even really attractive men are basically disgusting.
No, you are such a self-hating man.
Isn't that true?
You're
sort of
a self-hating
disgusting?
Jew with this
no,
man
then
stuff.
Tell me when they're not. Tell me when your eye gets attracted.
I will tell you something. Tom and I were in our little public village area the other day, and I was like, look at that guy. He was a stunning, this black guy was like a fucking statue. And I go to Tom, that guy is so beyond good looking. He's so beyond any of us genetically. Uh-huh. Like I wouldn't even know how to fuck him because he's just so beautiful. Like I couldn't even begin to touch him. Do you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even be worthy. Even in my height of my youth, like 20-year-old Christina could not fuck
God.
That guy.
What is it like to be that guy? Well, so that's the that's the problem. That's sort of one of the weird things about the male, right? Is that we're fundamentally disgusted, except the 0.0001% that get all the goods.
There's
just
some
spontaneously,
genetic,
just spontaneously.
But I love boys. See, I think you're not attracted to them. Maybe that's why.
I guess so. I just generally mean that our eyes aren't as attracted to the male.
True.
The small percentage in which it is. That's the unusual
women
thing.
Women are more visually appealing.
And those men get fucked up by that too a little bit.
Because it's too much power. It's like being a hot girl. It's way too much power for a guy.
Well, particularly God gives it to a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's when it all starts. And that makes for, you got to have some serious parenting kick in right there.
Well, I think it fucks women up too because I look, like Paulina Poroskova, I follow her on Instagram. Mm. And was there anybody more beautiful than that woman? And I think it starts at 12 and 13 when you reach puberty. And now all of a sudden you're a sexualized being out of nowhere. Men are looking at you and talking and they often don't know how old you are, can't tell.
You're treated differently.
You're treated different. And then imagine commodifying your looks your whole life.
So the people that have these genetic hands are sort of the ultimate celebrities wherever they go.
Yeah, but imagine,
TLC thing now. I'm sort of curious about it. It looks like it's sort of an Amish family or something, and two of the kids become like models, and they're super crazy attractive, and it doesn't go well. It's like these kids are like, why didn't you prepare us for the real world?
I think it's good to just be like average looking to slightly above. Like you don't want to be like really attractive, because when you lose, because everyone loses their looks. Like, so when you lose them,
oh yeah, what do you got?
You're just like, oh yeah, I was cute. Like I was never a fucking model, anyways. I don't know. Right?
You don't, your whole identity and worth is not wrapped up
in
that.
Yeah, so it's easier.
And I have admiration for people that do have a lot of that and then make sure it doesn't become their whole being.
That's crazy. I don't know how, though.
Yeah, my wife got a pretty good hand, and she's made, been that way her whole life. It's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it isn't. It's just the meat vessel that you're in.
And they get actually a little bit, a lot of people like to be called beautiful and pretty and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. They have a different set of priorities. They want to be smart, capable, that kind of stuff.
Everyone does, though. At the end of the day, it's not great to just be thought of as an attractive vessel.
Like, right.
That's so empty.
Right.
I didn't even do this. Why do you mean? Like, why do you give me credit for? I don't know.
You feel better now?
Why? So, was that like a, sorry, did I go off on a tangent or something?
No, it's good.
But I was watching, anyway, go back to Paulina Porizkova, because she's going through this crisis on Instagram. Like you see her talking about aging and Rico Kasich passed away a year or two ago, her husband for many, many years. Anyway, it's fascinating to read her journey and how she deals with being like this extremely beautiful woman who's aging.
And what is she saying? I interviewed her once. She was incredibly humble.
She seems really cool. Yeah, that's why I follow her. I dig her. She's saying that it's tough. Bless you. He's got the COVID.
I do.
Some days are good. Some days are bad.
For her. I think older women are very attractive. Yeah. I wouldn't be 25 and interested in that, but when you're above 50, older women are very, very attractive.
Well, like the French.
And they shouldn't feel bad. That's what bothers me. The fact they feel bad troubles me.
But I'll tell you something. In Europe, it's not this thing where you have kids and now all of a sudden you have to cut your hair short and put on culottes.
Well, that and
that's American shit.
That's mommy shit.
Yeah.
And
but in Europe, like you have your babies and you still fuck. You put the baby down at night.
Yeah.
And then you have a glass of wine and you and your husband fuck. And you manage to squeeze your ass into a bathing suit.
This whole thing has been about the French.
Well, and Europeans, like my mother looked fucking snatched, okay? Like she pumped me out. She got thin and cute. And my mother was never a pig. You know what I mean? Like a mom, frumpy dump. But whatever.
Oh my God.
I can't hold it up. I can't.
What's her name that we started with? Chalea or whatever. She's got some great stuff to imitate now. This is going to be really good when she talks about this stuff. All right. We could talk all day and we always do. So it's our privilege to be here. We appreciate you guys being here. Keep the emails and voice messages coming. We appreciate it so much. Rational Revolution, everybody. We're going to print up our manifesto.
And I'm going to keep a track of these woke things that I find. I think they're fun to go over.
Like the hand thing?
How we're going to call it the Week in Woke.
Oh,
and let's, I want to send us all these ridiculous news items too at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com.
And this is to, as much as we took aim at the hand challenge.
The limb differences. Limb difference.
You know, this used to be all the domain of medicine. Why can't medicine just deal with these things anymore? I mean, you know what I mean? I started thinking about it. I was thinking about ambiguous genitalia and how that has become like a territory. How about a cleft palate?
Right.
Cleft palates seem to be something that any midline abnormalities, which are part of things that happen during child development, you can get these midline abnormalities. Should we not operate on a cleft palate or wait till the kid's an adult to do it?
That's so true.
I mean, these are just midline errors that we can correct.
Right.
Why do you pass a value judgment on them?
Interesting. You know, you might have a whole cleft palate community that goes, I want my cleft palate, and you robbed
me. If that's true, someone needs to send us that.
I'm sure there is.
Because then I take it all back if that's true. Because I've never heard of that. Usually there are surgeons being sent all over the world to help countries where they don't have enough resources to repair these things so these kids can live normal lives.
Yeah, it's sad, man. It's fucked up.
What's the matter with us? We're going all over the place today.
I think because the world is so exciting right now. As horrible as things are, it's interesting what's going on.
It's good, yeah.
It's not just the Kardashians. Like, people aren't just sitting around having a Coke and a smile and shit's happening and it's real. It's exciting. It's
real. And we're going to lead them. Get that flag out there. I want that last bit of art to be a shirt. I really do.
Let's do it.
All right.
Or poster.
All right. See you next time.
Bye, mommy.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation in the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.